All right, let me move on into the opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll just remind you guys, Attorney Stan McDonald, who I was with yesterday. Attorney Stan McDonald is a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. He's the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a little bit. So this one's going to be a bit philosophical. I do that sometimes. Sometimes it's pointed at the news, and sometimes it's just like basically what's in my heart. So let me just get philosophical with you for a minute. And I'll lay the groundwork by saying this. Like many of you, I'm watching with like a mixed sense of disgust and disbelief at some of the protests going on around our nation. It's like there's a hyper-focus largely on Elon Musk right now too, right? But the venting has really kind of taken on a comical view, like a clown show. Most of the dancing, one-finger-saluting anti-capitalist protesters look like aging hippies who just dusted off their freedom beads and left their rocking chairs to go rail against the man. Getting the old band back together. But they're serious, though. Suddenly it's bad to them that Elon Musk is a billionaire. I mean, but it's great, apparently, that Bezos, Soros, Zuckerberg, Cuban, and Gates are all liberal billionaires. That's okay. So they rail against Musk. But then Tesla cars and dealerships and even Tesla owners also began to suffer actual attacks, destruction, even physical harm. Well, one of the opposite sides of the spectrum in terms of their capabilities and their understanding of the law were the chaotic and often violent street riots led by groups like BLM and Antifa that we watched with dismay over the past several years. Waves of what some pundits called largely peaceful protests burned whole city blocks. They fueled copycat rage in other cities, spread like wildfire, like a cancer, and then inexplicably, they were somehow honored by corporate America, who just desperately threw money at them and pledged fealty if they would just not burn down their corporate headquarters. And then how many times have we seen, too, in recent years, even as recently as this week? College campuses where post-pubescent knuckleheads have called for the death of Israel and the U.S. to abandon Israel as an ally. All in the news. So much so that the heads of major universities have now been forced to resign for doing nothing to stem the tide of hate and anti-Semitism on their respective campuses. And the Trump administration has begun turning off federal funds to those universities, one of which was Brown University today. But some of those protests have actually turned from being a matter of opinion and a right to free speech into something far more sinister, something that I believe actually goes straight to the heart of the real intent behind all of these protests. Whether it be the BLM Antifas or the ancient rockers who get out there and protest against Elon Musk or the ones on college campuses, I think there's an underlying thread. And I'll tell you, too, you got to look at some of the places that are doing it and find the irony. Like when the video emerged from one of the college-bound hotbeds of protesters on the campus of Harvard University. Allegedly, Harvard University, one of the greatest institutions of higher learning in the world, the same Harvard University that has spawned numerous American presidents whose charter dates back to the mid-1600s, believe it or not, when it was founded by Puritans. Harvard, whose earliest motto was Veritas Christo et Ecclesia, which is Latin for truth for Christ and the church. Yeah, the Harvard campus saw anti-American protesters take down the American flag and replace it with a Palestinian flag. Let that sink in. The oldest, most vaunted campus in the U.S., and one of which in the world, had protesters who felt brash and emboldened enough to tear down the flag of the nation that built the university from scratch and clawed out of the wilderness of the new land. Well, I got news. That's the underlying thread right there. That's the problem. First of all, that's my flag. That's our flag. You can have your opinion, but you can't have our flag. On June 14th of 1777, the Continental Congress approved the design of a national flag. History is important. Knowing who we are and where we've been is part of knowing where we should go and why. And part of that is knowing what you believe. And you see, what most of these protests have in common is they love to hate America. They forget that no other nation on the face of the earth, perhaps in the history of the earth, has done more to preserve their right to espouse their hate. But they can't contain themselves there either. They hate the country they claim to love, so they lash out in what turns out, in nearly every case, to be a violent, destructive hate fest of angst and misplaced grievance. Now, I'm a conservative. I am. I'm a conservative. An American conservative. Because of freedom. Like actual liberty. Limited government. Fiscal conservatism in the form of low taxes. Reduced government spending. Strict construction of the Constitution itself. The equal application of law. I love this country. I love what it is. Not just what I want it to be. Not just what I want to fix it to be. I love it for what it is. Now, having said that, I imagine that some of the liberal trolls out there who listen to this show are firing up their laptops, working up some keyboard courage, to let me know that liberal progressives and race riders and campus agitators, they can love their country too. Sure. But here's the thing. More often than not, those destructive riots that we see on the left that claim love for country, their love for the country is conditional. You hear that? It's not unconditional, it's conditional. It's very fluid, if you will. You see, the progressive side of society believes that this nation ought to be torn down and remade in some form of Marxist utopia. And I reject that notion completely, utterly and completely. I believe there's always room for improvement, but the change for change's sake is a lack of wisdom. Conservatives believe in improving the finer points of our nation. Liberals believe in just plain breaking our nation so they can build something different. I had one of those moments like a year or so ago. You know, the kind where you find yourself yelling at the TV or the radio? I was driving down the road listening to Brett Baer on Fox interview the former Democrat chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Congressman Adam Smith. He's a Democrat from Washington State. And in the course of the interview, this man who presided over one of the most important committees in Congress, with oversight over men and women in uniform, he had the audacity to say in his interview that, quote, and I'm quoting, "taking the stance that America is exceptional has too often gotten us into trouble." What? Well, I take exception to his exception to our exceptionalism. How about that? I don't know if Congressman Smith has ever worn a uniform. I don't really care. But I have, and multiple generations of my family have. Let me break it to him ever so gently. We are an exceptional nation. We just are. All the protesters and the liberal left progressives who say that we have to break what we've got in order to build something new, they don't love this country. If they do, they love it conditionally and not unconditionally. You see, the day that we begin to accept without question the gall of those people who would do things like kneel at the national anthem, disrespect our flag, consider us to be less than other nations, and yet still enjoy the freedoms of this grand country so they can say what they want to say, the day we just let that slide is the day that we begin the official decline into historic obscurity. So yeah, I'm a conservative American, and as such, I believe in my country, simply because it's my country. And to be honest, simply because it's the best one out there. I'm a conservative American, and as such, I will stand at the anthem, I will pledge my allegiance, I will salute the flag, and serve when called upon to protect and defend. I'm a conservative American like all of you are. I am okay with saying that for all its warts and blemishes, this is still the greatest nation on the face of the earth, blessed by God, built by sweat and toil, defended by honor and sacrifice, preserved by blood and fire. I believe that for all its might and power, this nation is at the same time fragile. It's fragile in the sense that we willingly preserve the right of those who would dishonor it, because we believe that they have a right to do so freely and without penalty. It's their right to disrespect the flag, sure, but it is not their right to tear it down. I'm a conservative American, therefore I refuse to stand idly by and let their insults and dispersions become the norm. It is not acceptable. We will not sit idly by and say, that's okay, because it's not. In his 1989 address, his farewell address to the nation, President Ronald Reagan, he warned us that we must internalize and institutionalize an actual love for country. Reagan said that. He said, here's his quote. He said, "an informed patriotism is what we want." And then he asked this question. He said, quote, "are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents in this long history of the world?" Well, apparently somebody failed miserably in raising and teaching all those fuzzy-faced Harvard protesters and the BLM and Antifa rioters. Their love for country is absolutely conditional, not unconditional. Look, I accept the fact that love for America is a concept that's alien to many. Not too many, but listen, this is my country, my team, it's my home. This is the place where my son, myself, my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather all entered the military service, pledging to uphold and defend this Constitution. I'm a conservative American. I do not apologize for the fact that I believe that our nation is, in fact, exceptional. I'm a conservative American, therefore I will answer the lies and the disrespect of the left by letting it be known that they are wrong. They can say it if they want to, but they're still wrong. They're also not allowed to take action against it. But I also believe that we must continue as conservatives to move further, faster, and to fight harder than the liberal progressives who would love nothing more than just tear the country down and relegate us as a people to some form of mediocrity on the world stage. Well, not on my watch. I was present one day for a speech by former President George W. Bush back in 2011. At the end of his speech, he was thanked for his sacrifices as president, and this really stuck with me. I don't remember the whole speech, but I remember this. At the end of his speech, he was thanked for his sacrifices as president, and his response was, "there's no sacrifice serving a nation that you love." Wow. So I'm a conservative American like so many of you. I am patriotic. I love this country. I believe with all my heart that, yes, God has made it exceptional. And I'm going to use this platform and any other that God gives me to make that known. My love for this country is unconditional, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.